SBS Radio.
So my father was Dutch. He immigrated with his family as a young child. He was the second youngest of a family of six at that time. And they moved to Australia in 1954, if I remember correctly. And so that's obviously half of my heritage is very much seated in the in that heritage of the Dutch language and community and so forth. But when my Opa moved here, he was a photographer. So we actually have a lineage of professional photographers who worked in Rotterdam, in Amsterdam, in and related to the Nieuwstaerts, who are also a very famous photography family who did photojournalism, and there are still Nieuwstaerts in the Netherlands and England who are photographers today. So he came here, and I think he very quickly realised that to have your own business and to try and make a name as a photographer, you had to have a name that people could sort of spell and pronounce. And so as per other surnames on the other side of my family, which is Lebanese, my mother's Lebanese, the name was anglicised pretty swiftly to B-A-Y-L.
Why did you choose the name Bale as the name for your business, for your studio?
There were a few reasons. So I had a previous architecture practice, and I had separated from that business partner. And so we wanted something that represented me and my history and the context of where we are kind of coming from. So for me, it was about returning some pride to the family name that had been sort of scuttled off in the 1950s. And I think, I mean, Australia is a very different place. Obviously, still lots of people ask us, how do I pronounce this word or this name? But for me, it was sort of doing what I can't really do for myself or my children, which is to bring the original name back into where it belongs. So that's really why I made that decision.
So then there was this moment of designing this new house that has been featured in the Sydney Morning Herald with the name Doorzien. I mean, how did that come about?
So the clients, Bob and Sharon, have lived in a few different places, but they lived in Den Haag. They think very fondly of the time that they lived there and had bought pieces of art from specific artists there, and they were pieces that they wanted to include in the house. So we did everything down to the furniture and curating the art collection with them and all sorts of really fine level details. And so part of the concept of the house is to break away from the typical semi-detached, you know, kind of traditional house, which you have, there are many of in Sydney and certainly other places in Australia, particularly Melbourne, where you get these long shotgun corridors and, you know, you kind of feel like you're walking down the light somewhere at the end of the tunnel. And so part of our design was to really break that apart and bring light into the house in unexpected places. But also, because it has the land falls away from the road, it has a lower level. And so particularly for Sharon, it was important to feel like she could be in the house and interacting with the whole house, and it wasn't like the lower ground floor was forgotten about. So the idea of the light coming through the house, as well as being able to see, you know, to open up the floor plan and also to be able to see the amazing harbour view, it was the combination of all those things. And so one day Bob was joking about how we give all our projects names, you know, whether it's the suburb or the street or some concept. And he said, I like see-through house. And I said, Bob, we can't call it see-through house. That's so childish, you know. I said, how about we call it see-through house in Dutch? Let's call it the Doorzien house. And he went, oh, I like that. So that's what stuck. And I think it's given it another layer of, I mean, it's still see-through. It's still that kind of slightly kind of kiddie concept of being able to see through a piece of glass. But it's kind of imbued it with a whole other character that connects the house to our clients' past, their future, you know, in a way, and how they want to occupy and live in the house. So it's sort of became a concept that has really kind of been soaked up by the project in a way. And I think it comes through in not just that Sydney Morning Herald article, but it, you know, it was published in Habitus early in the year. It's been published in a whole bunch of places, and I think people really connect. And we've had lots of people visit the house on tours with the Australian Architecture Association, and they've come through a couple of times with the young architects group Imagine. And I think people really connect with the idea of that the house really does break away your idea of what it's going to be like at the front door, if that makes sense.
Right. What's the effect of designing this house on future projects of Bale Architects?
That's a great question. So as Jenny, who's the journalist who wrote this article, alluded, and she's the first person to have done so, we are actually doing the other half of the house, the other semi, which is, it does happen.
You mean next door?
Yes. So it's very unusual to be given that opportunity. Sometimes two owners who own a semi might go in together and do their project at the same time, and they want a lot of the outside to be the same or whatever. And I think what's interesting in this instance is that the clients for whom we are doing the house next door, which we have called the Zuster House, because it's not a twin, so it's not, it doesn't look exactly the same as the Dorzean house, but it has more of a view in a particular direction that that the Dorzean house doesn't have. But the Dorzean house has other views and other opportunities.
Yeah.
And so I think it's certainly influenced its neighbour, but it's certainly influenced other projects that we are working on. And we have a project that has just started construction in Hunters Hill called Stealth House. And that project takes some of the ideas. It's a very different house. It's a standalone house, but it takes some of the ideas that we've developed in the Dorzean house about light, about materials, and we take in again in another different direction. And certainly our use of steel, I think a lot of people are very keen on the way that we detailed the new steel frame that kind of holds the inside of the Dorzean house together.
Yeah, I realise that as an architect, you have a big responsibility because you can change the world in a material way,
yes,
but also in a conceptual way, and that must be so amazing to do and to achieve. And
I think it's a big responsibility, actually. Yeah. Like
but also a big joy.
Oh, it is. I think if you can get everyone along on the ride with you, and I think it's really important for architects to also recognise that others can contribute to that change as well. And I think finding new ways for existing buildings to have a life, I think that's going to become – it's something we've dealt with for about, I'd say, our 15, 16 years of practice, and I think it continues to be a really important thing as we – kind of work out how we occupy our cities better, you know, and build them better and not keep spreading out into our food bowl, because that's what we've done in Sydney. So, sorry, I've made this conversation all of a sudden turn very serious.
Interesting. But I'd like to say the Dutch has landed again.
Yes.
sbs.com.au